Okay. The passage this morning been given me to preach from is Mark chapter 1, verses 14 to 28. And I'm just going to make one or two comments about what I'm going to be thinking about this morning. And then we're going to go through those verses one by one. So the verses will come up on the screen. And we'll glean things from them. And there may be one or two issues this morning that you struggle with, as I've struggled with them. And in fact, struggled with them throughout my ministry over the years. God's here and his spirit is with us, and he's going to take his word and apply it to us, which he always does, doesn't he? I think the miracle of preaching and speaking is that when you do something in his name and through his word, the Holy Spirit takes it and applies it to every individual. And whatever where that individual is from, or where they are, or the circumstances. So that's going to happen this morning, yes? And you're going to be open to that, yes? Oh, good. As Steve said last week, Mark seemed to be in a rush to finish his work detailing the ministry of Jesus. Mark started with John the Baptist preparing the way for Jesus, and now in these verses he jumps right into the start of the work of Christ. In these verses we see that Jesus calls people to follow him, his command, to come under his authority and his lordship. He calls them not because of what they were, but because what he could make them to be. I think that's really important, how God calls us as we are to make us something very special. Jesus calls us to follow him, to serve him, but in the way that he wants, when he wants, and where he wants. It's not our decision. Interesting, isn't it? The good news had arrived, that which only Jesus could proclaim, as he himself was the good news. The good news was that the kingdom of God had arrived, and that in that kingdom, it's something that needs to be entered into. It's not just something that comes upon people. It's something you have to do. And that was very much what John Baptist was saying and what Jesus is saying. Three of the things that come from this passage are: we need to repent. We need to say that we're sorry. The call is for a complete turnaround, not just for a glib, I'm sorry for doing that. But no, it's a complete and utter saying, God, I'm so sorry. I don't want to do that again. I'm going to turn around and I'm going to try with all I can, with your Holy Spirit, to be the person that you want me to be and not to do those things. But to believe too. It's not just a belief in your head. The word belief means much more than that in Scripture. It means to not only grab hold of, but enter into. It's like when you have a recipe for a cake and you bake the cake and you think, oh, this is going to be nice. Hopefully when you've followed the recipe and it is, and there you've got the cake in front of you. You believe because you follow the recipe, oh, that's a nice cake. I believe that's a nice cake. It's a wonderful cake and it could just sit there. You can believe as much as you like, but until you actually eat it, you don't know what it really is like, do you? And belief, that's what belief is in terms of Jesus. It's not just believing him, not just believing his word, but actually taking him into your life, to actually receive him. That's what belief really is. And then to follow him, and using the cooking analogy again, there are all kinds of things that I love. I love sweets, not sweets, but desserts. When you get a little bit older, you have to, all through your life, but particularly when you get a bit older, you have to be a little bit careful how much cake and stuff that you eat. But recipes are there, and if you follow them, and follow them properly and correctly, you get a wonderful dessert or a wonderful meal or whatever it is. And Jesus is saying, I want you to follow me, because his way is perfect. And if we follow him, then we will become those who actually display something of his splendour, and we'll enjoy that which he wants to do in us and through us. We need to follow his details. Okay, well, let's if you could put the passage up, please, for me, Brian. We're going to go through these verses more or less one by one. Verse 14, after John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news. Jesus went to Galilee. That's kind of his hometown, and he went back there and he ministered around there. And there he proclaimed the good news to people who would kind of feel he was part of them, saying the kingdom of God is here. And the time has come, he said, the kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. Why was the kingdom of God here? Why was the kingdom of God near? Because Jesus was there. Because Jesus was here, is here. The kingdom of God is here this morning because Jesus is here. The kingdom of God is in you and in me because Jesus is there. In you, in me. Well, I hope that's true for all of us this morning. Because it can be. And if Jesus does not reside in you, then you don't know his love in your life. You really aren't part of that kingdom. And we need to repent. Again, not just saying sorry, but having complete turnaround. Believing the good news, taking it on board, running with it, letting it impact our lives. Verse 16. And as Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Thank you. Move on to the next verse, please. Sorry. And he said to them, come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Here Jesus called specific people. And that's what he does. He doesn't call a whole nation. He calls individuals to follow him, to do that which he wants. And each one of us will be different, and he will call us as individuals, but he will call us to a specific work. Peter and Andrew and James and John left their father's nets in obedience to that call, as we read on. When he had gone a little further, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. Here was a specific call to specific people. But it didn't come out of the blue. Jesus didn't just appear to them for the first time and says, follow me. They'd actually, as we see from John's Gospel, John's Gospel, chapter 1, verses 35 to 42, if you want to look it up, they'd actually seen Jesus before. They said, we've seen the Messiah. They'd heard him, they'd understood him, they'd seen perhaps some of the things that he'd been doing. They must have seen his authority. They must have heard the message. You think, wow, this is something great here. And so when Jesus actually calls them, something has already happened in their lives, but he calls them to be his disciples, to leave everything that you have, to leave everything that you are and follow me. Lay down your life, almost, is what he was saying. And come to follow me and do that which I want you to do. Christ does call every Christian to follow him. Every person who comes to faith is required to follow him. Saved to serve. Steve in the church, our minister, he's a servant because God has called him to be a servant, but he's a servant to this congregation and this community. The washer-up has been called to that. You may not think that, but actually you're a servant. You're a servant to the church. And the interesting thing is servants follows obedience to follow. It's something that happens. When you follow, it's about being a servant being obedient to Christ. There's no status attached to Christ's call. The minister and the washer-up in God's eyes are the same. There's no one's better than the other. It's simply that they've been called to serve and to follow. Christ simply wants obedience and submission. And then if we go to verse 21, please. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. You know, the synagogue was a really important place, and there were synagogues everywhere. Wherever there was enough people, I'm not going into the ins and outs of that, but wherever there were enough men to set up a synagogue, I think it was 10 men, they could set one up. And this came back from the time of the exile, when the children of Israel had gone into exile. And of course they had no longer had the temple where they could go to worship and to hear God's word. And so they set up these synagogues whilst they were in exile. And that all kind of developed and grew. And there was one of those in Capernaum. And they were good places. There was a good place for Jesus, because these were places where anybody could get up and say something. Dangerous. Just imagine that if we open this church for anybody to get up and speak. Even coming in from the outside for the first time, dangerous. But anyway, that's how it was. And Jesus got up and he spoke. And wow, something was happening when he spoke. And there was just something about his teaching that grabbed them. It was dynamic. It was real. It was true. It was vital. And they saw in Jesus someone who was different to those who would normally get up and speak. And they saw that he had authority in that he was saying. The people were amazed at his teaching, because he taught them as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. So here we have a situation. Here we have Jesus, who is the kingdom of God, and brings the kingdom of God. Here is Jesus, who is teaching, and in the teaching they're going, whoa, wow, this is incredible. And in the midst of this, as we read in the next verse, 23, just then a man in their synagogue who was possessed by an evil spirit cried out. Thank you. Move on to the next verse. What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. Be quiet, said Jesus sternly. Come out of him. The evil spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. This whole thing of evil spirits is a difficult thing. In the church today, and there are various avenues that you can take in terms of belief and practice. And what I want us to look at this a little bit, but I want you to focus on Jesus, okay? Not the evil spirit, and not what we're going to be thinking about that, because it is Jesus who brings freedom. It is Jesus who brings freedom. And it's freedom that we're going to centre on just towards the last part of the message. But here, in the midst of this, there's this guy, and he's out of his mouth comes these words from an evil spirit. The man was possessed. And for some Christians, this idea actually can raise all sorts of struggles. But I want us to see what the passage says. And we can't actually get a theology of these things just on one verse, but it does give us some indicators. First of all, something inside the man yelled out. It wasn't the man, it was something inside of the man that yelled out. We are told very clearly that it was an evil, or some versions say unclean, spirit. And in this speaking out, they said, what do you want with us? And it's interesting here again, it's plural. It's not just one spirit, there's many. We don't know how many, but it says, what do you want with us? And they knew who Jesus was. This spirit knew who Jesus was. And again, here is something, again, Mark putting into this passage, just again, this sense of Jesus had authority. He had power. He was the Lord. And here, these evil spirits recognize that. And they shouted out, I know who you are, the Holy One of God. And in this, Jesus actually then says, I'm not having any of this. He didn't say that to the crowd, but in himself, I'm not, this isn't right. I don't want this message about me being the Messiah to be broadcast by evil spirits, let alone anybody else. He wanted to build his teaching and his ways until the cross. And that's where that was the important ministry of Jesus. But we see this. And Jesus commanded the spirit who had made that declaration to shut up and to come out of the man. I just want to say this. Jesus hadn't gone out of his way to find this and to make this happen. In the authority and presence of Jesus, things do happen, don't they? And sometimes they're a little bit off the wall for us to actually grasp and understand. And for the people that were there, this wasn't unusual, because there were actually bands of people, not just followers of Jesus, but bands of people who were going around casting out evil spirits. So it wasn't a new thing for them, but for many of us, this might be a whole new concept. So Jesus told him to shut up and to come out of the man. And the man shook violently, and the spirit came out with a shriek. Something quite remarkable that perhaps we've never seen or never understood or maybe even heard about. But here, something powerful happened. Jesus freed that man from that evil spirit. And when Jesus is around, when Jesus and the kingdom comes, wonderful things happen. Verse 27. The people were all so amazed that they asked each other, what's this? A new teaching and with authority. He even gives orders to evil spirits and they obey him. News about him spread quickly over the whole region of Galilee. The people were amazed. They'd been amazed at his teaching. They'd been amazed at all this that had now happened with this spirit. They say, a new teaching with authority that even spirits obey. And here were signs right at the beginning that Mark is showing, signs that Jesus was the Messiah, that Jesus was the authority from heaven. So what can we glean from these sorts of things here? Well, the first thing to say about this issue of spirits is at that time, anything where people acted strangely in this kind of way were put down, it was put down to evil or evil spirits, including what we know as epilepsy, and I believe personal problems and possibly even schizophrenia. Because these things would have been happening in those days, and they were all kind of lumped together. Oh, it's evil spirits. That was their understanding. Now, today, many people in the church have got a broader idea, and we've got a broader idea of what is happening. Some teach today, though, say that any display of so-called evil spirits are down to what we understand today. Oh, it's either epilepsy or it's schizophrenia or it's something else. It's not evil spirits. But we have to be very careful. Scripture is very clear on the teaching. that there are things as evil spirits. And we need wisdom to know what is what. And we have that ability today to have a better idea of what is going on. The work of an evil spirit and an epilepsy, whilst in some senses might seem to be the same or very similar, they're not. They're very different. And through my ministry, I've actually seen and kind of experienced both of those things. And they are different. They're very different. The text itself shows that there is some kind of entity that's in this man that needs to be removed. So there's the voice from inside, the man shouting, declaring the truth about Christ. When he'd spoken, Jesus told him to shut up and then cast it out of the man. The reaction of this spirit came through the authority of Jesus. When Jesus was there, when Jesus spoke, when Jesus acted, it came from that. It was a reaction to Jesus. And I think we need to be, if you come across people who are involved, sometimes people get heavily involved in what is called deliverance ministry. And sometimes I think that can be quite dangerous, because they're actually making the effort to try and find evil spirits. And actually, in Jesus' ministry, if you look at it, he never did that. Any work of casting out demons came as a response to his ministry, his teaching, his miracles. So having said all that, there's something really important I want to just bring here. A couple of things. First of all, Jesus brings freedom. Freedom. Freedom from sin. We're told to repent, confess our sins. And if we do, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Hallelujah. Freedom. Freedom from sin. Freedom from the power of evil. Paul says when Satan comes to attack us, we can resist him in the name of Jesus and he will flee. Freedom from, if you like, the power of Satan. Freedom from sickness. We can be healed. We can, as we come to Jesus and ask for him to heal us, we can be free from those things. Not everybody, don't get me wrong. But there is freedom for some people from illness. Freedom from death. This doesn't mean the physical death, because we all will die. But Paul says, death, where is your sting? It ain't there. Because those who die in Christ know that actually they go on into eternal life. Let me say this, when you become a Christian, you have eternal life. It's yours. And when we die, it's just a passing from this particular life into the life of glory. And then, freedom to follow. What do I mean by that? The disciples that Jesus called actually were freed from where they were, their work, their ideas, their thinking, their family. They had to lay it down. But somehow, just the very sense of the presence of Christ and his call gave them the freedom to let go and to follow him. Freedom. And there are many other areas in our lives where Christ brings freedom. And then, truth. So freedom, that is the authority of his power. Truth, the authority of his teaching. Good news. Good news. Gospel, good news. Jesus came and taught, and through his teaching, a whole new kingdom was established that is being established and will one day in glory be completed. Good news. forgiveness through repentance, salvation through belief, purpose through following Christ, freedom through submission to Christ. When Jesus calls, he provides. When Jesus calls, he actually enables us to do that which he's calling us to. This morning, are you free? Do you know that you're free from sin? That you've repented and turned from that and received forgiveness? Do you know that you are saved? That actually you've entered into the life that Jesus said that you would have through the good news of the gospel? Do you have a purpose in life? So many people around who have a purpose in life, which actually is, it's all about me. Marion's sister has got this little phrase that she keeps saying from time to time. Oh, me, 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 me. But we can be like that, can't we? Me, 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 me. It's all about me. It's all about what I want. I want that promotion. I want that. I want that house, or I want that car. I want this. I want that. And that becomes our purpose in life, to improve ourselves. Not wrong in itself, but actually, what Jesus wants is us to have the purpose in our lives that comes through his call on our lives. Mark rushed to show in his book, he rushed to show the power and authority of Jesus, and that he was the only one who could forgive, save, heal, deliver, and call into service and obedience. Wherever Christ is present, his word and work brings surprises that cause us to be amazed at him. This morning, as we just continue for a few moments in worship, let's be amazed at this Jesus who brings freedom.